I see if by chance, sometimes I have a copy floating around. Let me just see.
Okay.
Well, what page number does it start? I'm just looking here.
What you gave me was.
Now,
this is what again? This is Harakan? No.
No, this is a sefer that's called Shiurei Harav. And this is based on various notes. Transcripts of the Rav Shiurim, Rav Soloveitchik wrote, didn't write any of this. And the one who compiled this is Elio Koenigsberg. This is what we call in the yeshivas Mipi HaShvua. I don't know if you ever heard that phrase. In other words, this is the tradition that was passed on, but it was not authored by the Rosh Hashiva himself. What do you say?
He never saw this.
Never saw this. Absolutely not. In fact, okay, I shouldn't say this, but had he seen it, I don't know. Again, I'm not Chas Shalom. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not wasting your time by studying this. But what I mean to say is, Rav Soloveitchik was very, very hesitant to publish Torah.
He wouldn't have been happy just that it was written.
Yeah, the very fact that you're writing up his Torah and you're publishing it, that's not something that he would necessarily.
I wonder. What did he think was going
to happen? Again, I think he thought that at least during his lifetime, no one would have the chutzpah publishing his shirim without permission. In fact, I was there present once when he blew a gut. He was literally livid because somebody published a sefer in which he quoted the Rav extensively. And the person who did it did a beautiful job, by the way.
Just quoted.
Just quoting the Rav. He felt that, nobody has the right to do that. And certainly not without his okay. The Pella was, and I'm using a pun here, there was a Jew by the name of Pelli who published the Rav's public lecture. Once a year he gave a lecture for Tshuva, for the Aser Semei Tshuva, and the Rav gave him his blessing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing work. I mean,
I was Pinchas Pelli,
right. But as far as I know, no one outside a very small circle of the family of the Rav was given permission to publish anything. Even circulating the Rav's notes was an issue. You had to get permission from the Rav. Meaning, if let's say you took notes and you wanted to share them with me, then the protocol was that you would ask. We're 3 for 3 today. Anyway,
but that was done.
That was done, but again, officially, I'm not telling you that before that was done. But you really had to ask permission. It was asked. You would have to ask permission. Okay. So let me just give me a minute to get oriented here, because I want to make sure that we're on the right page. So let me just see here. Yeah, I don't know how many pages of this very long essay you photocopied, but do you have Reish Samach Gimel? Because I want to change the order.
I did through Reish Samach Zayin.
Excellent. So we're going to change the order for a moment, and we're going to begin with Os Gimel, which is on Reish Samach Gimel. And let me try to give a little bit of background here. We're talking about the laws of Taroves, and we have a mixture of Iser Veheta that was, let's say, accidentally cooked together. And there was no Bittul. And the Torah has a principle with regard to Taroves. This is the most important principle in Taroves, called Tam Ki Ikar, which means that if we have every reason to believe that the tam of the Iser went into the Heter because there's no Shishim, then the Heter becomes Aser. Why? Because it's carrying the tam within it. That's called Tam Ki Ikar. Now let's say you had a tarovus of Issa v'heter, and there was no bittul. You went ahead and you ate a kezias from this mixture. Would you get malchus for that? Meaning, how far do we go with tam ki'ika? If we go all the way, so to speak, with tam ki'ikar, then what it means is that the heter now, because of tam ki'ikar, is like the ikar ha'isar, it's like the veil itself, which is called in the language of the poskim, heter nefach lios isar. So something that a minute ago, after you shechted the animal, was basar k'shera, now it becomes basar asur. And why? Because tam kikar, because it was cooked together with nevela in the same pot.
How else would it be?
What do you say?
How else would it be? In other words, would that not be the minimum requirement to make it asur, that it now becomes totally a kisser?
Well, no. You see, I would have said that if you eat a kezias of this, you know, after this mixture and the nesinas tam, that you don't get malchus from this. Why? Because the Torah says you get malchus for eating a kezias of nevela. You didn't eat a kezias of nevela, right? Imagine a half a kezias of nevela gets cooked together with a half a kezias of basa shchuta. So now you eat a kezias. I mean, the assumption is, and not only that, I'll go even a step further. Let's say we remove the Easter from the tarobus. So let's say I can identify it, and I take it out of the mixture. All I'm left with is heter, just that the heter is asur because it's holding on to what? The time of the Easter. You know, once they were cooked together, so the time now penetrates into the heter, and I'm not allowed to eat the heter because...
But you're not eating the nevela.
But I'm not eating the nevela. I'm eating basa shchuta. This piece of meat was shechted already. So it's pure heter. Elo, what the Torah says, tam ki'ikar. It's holding on to the tam that penetrated within it of nevela. And to say that because I ate this tam ki'ikar, I should get malchus, that would only make sense if we say that the heter nefach lios iser. If we went a step further, and we would say that the power of tam ki ikar is so powerful that the heter itself becomes isur. So when I eat a kezias of what was basa shchuta, basa heter, after the nesinas tam, through the mechanism of tam ki ikar, it's as if I'm eating a kezias in the veil. I mean, that's a big, you know, that's a pretty revolutionary idea. Now, Rabbeinu Tam seems to assume exactly what we said. And that's the first line here in number Gimel. Shalokim, if you can underline those words, Shalokim gamim ochal rak kezayis min ha-tarobes. So Rav Soloveitchik says that l'chora, at first glance, what you would say is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you only ate one kezayis from this tarobes. So you didn't eat a kezias of nevela, you ate a kezias of basa shchuta. Then the only way of understanding Rabbeinu Tam l'chora, again he's going to change his mind, is to say that tam ki ikar is so powerful that once the tam penetrates into the basa heter, is heter nepach lios iser. That now the Torah says that this be'en, this physical basa, is now nevela. Says the Rav, no. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam has in mind. Now here's the difficult point that I want to see if we can survive. He says, Rabbeinu Tam chidesh din b'nogel shir kezayis hanitzach l'chiv malkis b'yocha machol sasuros shekedei l'schayiv malkis al achila lo tzarch lechol kezayis shal isur el asagi b'achilas kezayis ochel hamut'am me'isur. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat a kezias of isur. And if you do so, you get malchus. How do I gauge, or how do I weigh, or evaluate a kezias? So Rebbeinu Tam wants to say the following. In order to be chayav for kezayis, you don't need to eat a kezayis of Isur. What you need to eat is a kezayis that represents the tam of a kezayis. In other words, when you are eating this kezayis of Basar Heter, you're chayav malchus because you're eating a kezayis worth of tam of Isur. That's what tam kika does. But Rebbeinu Tam would never go as far as to say that Isur nepach lios heter. Now this has tremendous ramifications for what's called Hanan, Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Let's say you cooked Nevela together with Basa Shkuta, and now the Basa Shkuta becomes Asur, and now that Basa Shkuta falls into a second Taroves, cooking it as it were with other pieces of meat, of Heter. Once again, we need shishim. But what do we need shishim against? Do we need shishim against the entire piece of meat? Or do we need shishim against that, let's call it a half a kezayis of the nevela that fell in and penetrated into this piece of meat? Well, it all depends. If you're going to say isur nepach, heter nepach lios isur, then you're going to need shishim against this whole piece of meat. But if you're going to say no, the reason why Rebbeinu Tam says you get malchus for eating a kezayis from this taruvus is because that is heter that's holding on to a tam of isur. So as far as the tam of isur is concerned, you ate a kezayis worth of isur, then it means that the heter remains heter. And if the heter remains heter, it's only also because of the tam that's within it. All you need is shishim against the tam. Anybody follow what I said? I'm sorry, my voice is a little bit shaky. So therefore, the next paragraph, he says, we are free now to cut the umbilical cord between Hanan and Tam Ki Ikar. In other words, even though we're holding Tam Ki Ikar to such an extent that you're going to get Malchus feeding a kezayis to the heter, that doesn't therefore necessarily prove that Chaticha Nasis Nevela. You cannot tell me that because you get Malchus on eating heter that's mut'am bi'mi isur, that has the tam of kezayis of isur, therefore we're going to need shishim against the entire piece of meat when it falls into a second taromus. The only reason that we justify requiring shishim against the entire piece of meat is to say that the entire piece of meat becomes gufo shel isur, which is another way of saying chanan. Tam ki ikar, but it doesn't mean chanan. Now, if everything we said is true, then we have a problem. Because Rebbeinu Tam made two statements. He committed himself to two halachic principles. Principle number one is that if he eats a kezayis of this taroves, he gets malchus. Why? As we said, we explained, because this kezayis represents a kezayis of tam of isur. Rebbeinu Tam said something else. He said, Hanan, that if this piece of heter, which has absorbed the tab of Isa, now falls into a second kedera, you need shishim against the entire piece. That seems to take us back to square one, namely the heter nepach lios Isa. Seder of name. That's not what it means. Line number four in this paragraph. Lochein nira lomar, duliolam chaticha nas nevela, who din misuyom hanemar bishir bitul shishim. There's some sort of special halacha, we don't understand why, but we understand what the mechanics is, that once you have heter that received the tam of isur, now you're going to need shishim against the entire piece of heter. Afal gav delo nefach haheter lios isur. That's not what Hanan means. Hanan is only telling me this din misuyam, this new din in Hanabi Meshayer Shishin. That in Nesra Chaticha v'nofel utok tarovas acheres shol heter, kidei lahatir tarovas ashniya, tzorach shishin ba heter, loga keneged blias ha'isu, the original nevela, elahaf keneged achaticha, So what is this chaticha? Why do I need shishim against this chaticha? It's not asur, it's not a chaticha sura, because we're holding that lo nefach ha'etel yos isur. And he answers, Sheikh zika es ha'isur, ve'hevi'ah oso l'toch tarovet zu. Now Rabbi Osai, are you willing, and again you can tell me, Rabbi Berzon, go fly a kite, are you willing to attribute human characteristics to a chaticha of basar and consider it as a live being that has a personality to it? Like, for example, if you and I would have a debate about who owns this book, then if I grab hold of the book and I make myself a muchzak, then it could be that you'll have to forfeit your claim on this book. Why? Because the Torah says, Hamotzi mechavel v'raya. So a human personality is capable of doing a chazaka, of grabbing onto something. What about a chaticha's basa? You know, it reminds me, when we were learning Pesachim, the Gemara talks about the weasel. The weasel picks up a piece of chametz, and we don't know whether it went back into the house, which was baduk, or the house that's not baduk. So the Gemara says, the weasel is going to go into that with its chametz in its mouth, it's going to go into the house that's low baduk. Why? Because chul de neviyah, one of the seven neviyahs that we have was called a chul is a weasel. So that, you know, you could say that a mouse or a weasel has a personality, you know, it makes certain decisions. But now we're talking about a chatichas basa. So Rav Soloveitchik says that this chatichas basa is not so innocent. It's not so passive. It's an active machzik. Machzik means it takes hold of something. The chatichas heta, the basa shchuta, now takes hold of the tama isur and transfers it into a second kedera. You know, it reminds me, when I was a kid, as Chatayi Maske, we used to read Mad Magazine. Did you ever hear of it?
Olashom.
It was very good, by the way. It was very funny. So Mad Magazine has something called Spy versus Spy. There's a spy that's dressed in black, and there's a spy that's dressed in white. The spy that's dressed in black is the bad guy, and the spy that's dressed in white is the good guy. What is the color of this chaticha that received the tam of Isur in the first cooking? That's the bad spy. He's wearing the black. He's machzik. He takes hold of the Isur, and now actively transfers that Isur over to the second chaticha. You can't be mevatel the tam. Now you have to be mevatel the entire chaticha, because that chaticha is a bad guy. I'm just trying to dramatize it. But in the Rav's language here, again, I don't know if the Rav used this language, but ha-chaticha hichzika es ha-isur. You see those words? Ve-hevia oso l'toch tarovet zu. We got to beat up this chaticha. We got to punish it. Why? Because that chaticha took the isur and brought it into the tarobas, into the second tarobas. He says the following. I want to bring a proof from a few different proofs from a few different sources, a few different Sugyos, Rishonim.
So there's no diminution of the Tam Isur, even if you go from one to second or third or fourth Tarabas.
Right.
The lever.
Right. You would have said that let's just attack that Tam of Isur, yeah. We'll get Shishim against the Tam. The answer is no. We need Shishim against the piece of meat. Why? The piece of meat is heter. We're not willing to accept in Rabbi Natan's framework that heter nepach lios isur. So why do you need shishim against that piece? The answer is because this piece is the facilitator that brings the tam of isur into the second tarot. Oh, let's see. Again, you're right, Sammy. If we didn't have the halacha of chaticha nasas nevela, it would be a masher. But the halacha of chaticha nasas nevela means that we treat this piece of heter as if it were nevela. Again, it's not nevela because lo nepach liosisa. But we're going to require bittul against this chaticha because this chaticha represents bringing Iser into heter. It's the bold chutz v'nyak that's bringing the Iser into heter. We got to be mevatel. That's called chana. Let's see if we can give a little bit of flesh and blood to this. If we go through, upon the phrase. If we go through a few of the sugyas. So the first sugya is called Zroa B'Sheila Ba'ayel. Now, what happens in the case of Zroa B'Sheila Ba'ayel? Does anybody know which carbon shlomim we're talking about? Who brings this carbon shlomim? A Nazir. So this is a parsha in Naso. It's called the parsha of Nazir. The Nazir, at the termination of his Naziris, amongst various karbonis that he has to bring, one of them is called a shlomim, and it has to be brought from an isle. How do you say isle in English? A ram? Now, what happens is that we have to, after the Shechita, and after the Zrika Saddam, and so forth and so on, the Torah requires that we cook the ayah. Now, the Torah says that the zroa, right, the arm, or we call it, I think, in Yiddish, a flegel, I'm not sure, that has to be cooked together with the rest of the ayah. Now, the issue is going to be, I have to remind myself of all the details, but the issue is going to be that because of the state of Hegdesh of the Zroa, we need to be Mavatel the Zroa. We need to apply the principle of Bitter. Now the Zroa is made up of two elements, Basar and Etzem. The Etzem is not Bolea. A bone does not absorb the Tam. Tamua. Amai Tzarech Shishim Keneged HaEtzem. In other words, it's not enough that you have Shishim against the Basar, but you also need Shishim against the Etzem. So the Zroa is made up of two elements. What is going on over here? Why do we need Shishim against the Etzem if the Etzem was not Bolea? So he says the following. That Basar V'Etzem is called one Chatich. You've got the bone and the meat, the flesh around the bone. Is therefore we need Shishim not just against the Iser, but against the Chaticha. Why? Because this Chaticha is the bad guy. This Chaticha is responsible for bringing the Iser into the Taromis. And whenever you have a Chaticha that brings the Iser into a Taromis, you need Shishim against the Chaticha. What's your definition of the Chaticha? It's Basar V'Etzem. Both together are considered one entity. Let's go on to the next raya. Maybe it'll be a little bit easier for us.
In this case, they are physically connected. That's not true in
the first case of Rabbeinu Tam. Let me just think about that. Just 1 second. Well, I guess, Sammy, it depends how you define Tam Ki Iker. If you're defining Tam Ki Iker that the Torah prohibits the Tam, so then that first piece of meat, a Basar Shchuta that received the Tam, when it's Movil the Tam, then it's attached in a sense. The Tam is in the fiber of the meat. Again, it might only be a small percentage of the meat. Now he quotes a Mordechai. This Mordechai is quoted by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mordechai says that Hanan applies to Bliya B'Kelim. So what does that mean? That means that let's say you cook, for argument's sake, you cook meat in a pot. Are you allowed to cook milk in the same pot? Let's say on the same day? No. Why? Because the milk, when you cook in this fleishik pot, now penetrates into the walls of the pot, and there's already basar in the walls of the pot. So now the milk combines with the basar. And what we're going to say now is you need shishim against both the milk and the basar. So let's say you had, for argument's sake, you had a fleishik pot, and there was a half a kezias of meat that you cooked in the pot. Now you use the same pot and you cook half a zayas of gvina, of cheese. So now, according to the Mordechai, if you cook something else in this pot, heter, in order to be permit the eating of that heter, you're going to need shishim in the heter against a full kezayas. And the same, my friends, would apply if, let's say, he cooked nevela in a pot, half a zayas worth. Now he cooks another half a zayas of shchuta. In the walls of the pot, you now have a full kezias because it's in the sinas tam. And now if he cooks, he's going to need shishim against the entire kezias. Says Rav Salvechka, I don't understand what's going on over here. You're going to tell me that heter is nepach lios isur? Where's the heter nepach lios isur? All you have in front of you is a kli, a vessel. Last time I tried to eat a vessel, it was not edible. I broke my teeth, right? Eich yochol isur, how can you tell me that there's a chalos isur on eitzim v'avonim? Right, whatever the... Oh, avonim is a reference to China, you know. El al karchach tzarech lomer dechatichan as nevela hu din mesuyam b'shir bitul shishim. It's not a din that heter is nefach liyosi. So you can't say that about Bliya B'Kelim. But rather, it's a din of shishim. Now he has the Tosus and Chulin. What happens in Tosus and Chulin? He's doing malicha. Now, when you do malicha, the dam is going to come out. And if you're smart about it, then the kli that you use is menukeves. It's got holes in it. So you drain out all the dam. He went ahead and he did malicha in a gigas she'ena menukeves, which means that the blood is now, what word should I use, is clogging up. It's back, what?
Congealed.
No, not congealed. What I mean to say is that now you have a backlog of dam because the dam is nowhere to go to go through. So this receptacle, which is called a gigis, is now filling up slowly with dam. So Tosis says that if half of the meat, half of the piece of meat is submerged in the dam, and the other half of the piece of meat is above the dam, then we get rid of the half that's below the dam that's submerged, and we're allowed to eat the upper half of the chaticha. And why? Because Tosus says that the dam can only go downward, it can't go upward. There's no upward motion of the dam. Are you with me, Rabosai? So that part of the bus that's soaking in dam is awesome. But that this dam should travel upwards is ein ha-nesar. Nesar means the part, the piece of meat that's submerged in the dam, the lower half of the meat. Yochol lesar el b'makom shah isa yochol lelech l'sham. You have what's called the isar and you have the nesar. The isar is the dam. And the Nesar is the bottom half of this chaticha that absorbs the tam and the dam. Is there any way that that nesar could go beyond the dam itself? The dam itself could never penetrate upwards into the top half of the chaticha. And therefore the nesar, which is the bottom half of the chaticha, cannot be more profound than the Isser itself. If the Isser itself can't go all the way up, then the Nesar for sure can't go all the way up. The Nesar is always one step lower than the Oser. Rav Soloveitchik on page Reish Samach Hei says, Urupshuto Yipole. You see that? Line 5. He says, L'chor is a pellet. Why? Because when the bottom half of the chaticha is submerged in dam, we should apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela, which according to Rabbi Tam, we do. Chanan is applicable not just to Basa B'chol, but to all Isurim. And once we say Chanan, what we're saying is the entire entity of the Basa becomes nevela, which in other words is saying Ha'isur Nefach Ha'heter Nefach Lios Isur. So why can't the Nesar generate an Isur on the top half of the Chaticha Mitzad Atzmo? Alright, it's true that the Dam that's within it could not possibly travel up, but what about the Basar itself? The Basar itself is cooking together with the top half of the piece of meat. And once you assume that Heter Nefach Lios Isur, the bottom half of the meat should generate an Isur on the top half. Once again, we have a proof from Tosfos that we don't say that the heter is nefach lios Isur, that the nesar, the bottom half of the chaticha, is kigufo shel Isur, but rather Chanan is only a din in shishim that tells me how you evaluate in the second kedera. Second Tarovas, how do you evaluate Shishim? That for Losagi B'Shishim, it's not enough to get 60 against the Bliyas HaIsur, but rather you need Shishim against the entire Chaticha. Oh. So now, what are you doing? You want to get Shishim against the entire Chaticha. Is the Chaticha itself Nevela? Is it Isur? No, it's not. It's only Osir because it's carrying a Tam of Isur in it. Well, says Tosfos, that Tam of Isur is not being carried. There's no bad spy over here. Why? Because the bottom half of the Chaticha could not possibly bring the Tam of the Dam to the top half of the Chaticha. Because the Dam goes down and not up. It's Mamela. If the whole din of Chanan is because the Chaticha is Mevia Oso L'Taroves, that doesn't apply in a case where the Iser is Dam, and the Dam can't go up. It can only go down. Wow, this in my opinion, is the best proof. How many proofs do we have? I think it's 4, no? Let's go.
Three?
Oh,
Zohar
B'Shela, and then we had the Bli of a Kelim, and now we have this principle called Einan Esa Yochel Lesser El B'Makom Sha'isa Yochel Leilech L'Sham. Right, three proofs. Now the next paragraph.
This one is reverse, right, or as opposed to the other two.
Let me think if I understand what you're saying.
There, it did cause the Isser, and here it doesn't cause the Isser.
Right. Because there we say it causes the Isser because there is a Tam,
right,
and there is a Bliya. Right. But once there's a Bliya, we can say that we need Shishim against the entire Chaticha because the Chaticha is responsible for Molech and Movil the Tam.
Yeah,
here what we're saying is that Lu Yitzur Yer HaChaticha of Heter, which could not possibly be Molech the Tam, then we would not apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis.
This seems to be a stronger proof because we would expect that it would.
Right. It's a brilliant proof. He has a footnote number 26. He sends you to a book by Rav Schechter called Ikvei Etzon. I have that book somewhere, but it's been ages since I found it. Now the next paragraph is a hemshech of the beginning of this essay, which we didn't see, about Piskei Harama.
Sorry, Bob.
How are you?
Keith.
You're amazing. So what do we have?
This is for you.
My own key. Mm-hmm. How much are you owing for that?
I don't know. It's not nothing. It's fine.
And this has to get back to its owner.
And I have a copy as well in case. So
give them.
And I checked that they work. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Great. All right.
Take care. Kilovitzes. By the way, Eric,
yeah.
If you want, you can dab mint with us in 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
Yeah, five minutes.
Perfect. All right. Great. Thanks.
Actually, it's 8 minutes. I exaggerated. So he wants to now be miyashiv to Piskei Harama. So let's see if we can find this. We have to sort of skim the first two and a half pages. Oh, so first of all, one thing I see clearly, and that's on page Reish Samach Gimel, the very page that we started with, that there are more paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, which means that Chaticha Nas Nevel applies even to Shire Isurim. Oh, but now we have another Psak of the Ramah, which Lechora contradicts. Now, where is that Psak of the Ramah? Give me a minute here to see this. Sheramah Pasak. Idas Rabbeinu Tam, the Chanan is no even in Shari Surim. Umeidach Pasak Idas Baliatosvis. The Melach Abo, Melach Abalua Bedam. So what happens? He salts the meat. And the purpose of the salting process is for the salt to bring out the dam. So now the salt is saturated with dam. And according to the Balei HaTosfos, which Rambam apparently accepts, and that's going to be here on page Reish Samach Beis, if this melach, which is saturated with dam, now falls into a mixture, then it's batel b'shishin. Now, if the Ramah has already committed himself to Chanan b'shari surim, like Rabbeinu Tam, then what we're saying is l'chora, that the heter is nefach lios isa. That's what Chanan means, right? In the classic universal understanding of Chanan. Im kein mistaber shamelch ye nechshav ki ilu iser machmas atzma. And if that be the case, it shouldn't be batel even be'elef. Now I'm not sure why salt will not be batel. I guess it's a milsa david l'tam. Whatever the rules are, it's never batel. Now, the Mechaber accepts this psak that the salt that's saturated with dam is not going to be oser, another kedera. That makes sense because we don't hold from Chanan according to the Mechaber, except for Basu Mechalov. We don't extend Chanan to Ashari Sur. But the Ramah, on the one hand, paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a din of Chanan even in Shari Surim, and on the other hand, the Ramah says that this salt, which is saturated with dam, is not an issue. If it comes in contact with the tarobas of other heter, then all we need is shishim. We're not going to say that we need shishim against all this glob of salt, you know, all the pieces or granules of salt, and apply the principle of Chanan. We're only going to require shishim against the dam that's bolua. So now getting back to the bottom of Reish Samach Hei, ולאור כל זה יש לי יאשי פסקי הרמו דיאפים חנן בשערי סורי מן התורה. The Rabbeinu Tam rejects Rabbeinu Ephraim and he applies Hanan in all Yisuri Torah. Mikoloko melech habalua midam batel b'shishim. Dili olam midin tam ki ikalo nefach haheter lios isur. Rak midin Hanan tzorch lefatel lo rak ha-isur elo afach ha-ticha sheviya esa isur tocha tarovet. So memela ein ha-melech yosef chavur mea isur ha-nivla bo. What does he mean here? Just one second. Ein ha-melech yoser chavur mia iser ha-nivla bo. Can you tell me iser ein zed din v'yola v'liyam v'modi d'min din tam ki ike lo nefach ha-het ha-nios. Alright, so this last point I have to clarify. I think he's using the logic of the third proof from Chulin Sadivav about the Malicha case, and I think he's applying it here. Ein ha-melech yoser chomer mea isra nivla bo. But what does that mean? Shem chaticha neser machmas shekibla tam mi isra ein zedin chaticha ruyel uskavid achle misha sober de chanan gam eshari surim. Because we're not holding Isur Heter Nefach Lios Isur V'meilu Lo Damya Chaticha Neseres Machmas Bliya L'Chaticha Asura Machmas Atzma. I think he's applying this principle of Chaticha Ruyel Iskabin, and something very similar applies to the Melach. But we're not going to apply Chaticha Ruyel Iskabin if there's no Chanan. No. I'm sorry. He says that even if you apply Hanan to Shari Surim, nevertheless, it doesn't make it into a Chaticha Haru'ilis Kavu. Who had did Nami? Yesh Lahavim Ashehela Ran Medasar Meditam Hanan Bishari Surim and Elvid Rabbanon Afagam Tam Kikar Osim in a Torah. Dolafid Varenu Hanan the Tam Kikar and Shnei in Yonim Nifron. Most I will stop here and I don't know, gentlemen, if you're around, I don't know what your schedule is in the days to come. A lot of the chevra are in chutzlaretz, one after the other. It's like amazing.
Everybody coming back soon?